times, if only we could see what is happening in the unseen realm. Some of you that came to the front, by coming to the front and doing what you did, you canceled terrible accidents that were going to happen to you this week. Good morning. Are you settled? Or you're still settling? I know what I said. I said a lot of things. Some of them you may not remember. Ask the guy out there if they have a tape of what I say, because you need to listen to that over and over. Hey? Good. Well, I've been saying, we've been previewed to incredible outworking of the grace of the Lord. And as such, it's going to require so much out of you. It's going to require a greater level of obedience and submission from you. Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment." Why? Because they had a great testimony and they refused to change their ways. What that means is, the more grace we walk in, the more judgment we release on ourselves. Because we know the Bible says the times of ignorance God has done what? Forsaken. But now he demands. He does not beg, he's not asking, he's not negotiating. He demands that all repent. The days you could have said, "I didn't know the Holy Spirit is real," whoa. You watch the Holy Spirit demonstrate his grace and his power every weekend. Anyway, that's not the message for today. Literally, that was an intervention. Okay. Like I said, the last couple of weeks I've just been saying hello to you guys. I've not officially started. When am I starting here? These Sundays have been hello. When am I starting? Tell me the date. Some people don't understand the day of. So, I've been saying hello. I'm starting on the 3rd of February. So on the 3rd of February, which will be a Sunday, we're going to have a breakthrough and anointing service. On the 3rd of February, that Sunday, I don't care what demon you have, how stubborn your demon is, you bring it here. I don't care how stubborn your situation is. I don't care how insistent and persistent your situation is. Whatever reason you have to be, wherever you have to be, don't come to me the Sunday after. Because you people are very hard on hearing. I said when? The 3rd of February. I didn't say the 2nd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th. I didn't say call me on Tuesday and say, 3rd. Of February. Wherever you think you have to be, for the sake of your soul. Well, I say these things over and over, there's always somebody else who think they are the exception who should come on Monday. Well, whichever Sunday it is, if it is a Sunday I'm talking about, tell your doctor. If you have an appointment with death, cancel it. Good for you. Okay? You see, I've had similar situations with some people over and over. Our job is to obey heaven's instructions. So if heaven is saying the 3rd, I only know what to do with you on the 3rd. On the 4th, I got no idea what to do with you. I got no idea what to do with your stubborn spirit on Monday. Do you understand? Yes. I know what to do with your stubborn spirit on the 3rd of February. Now, since some of us, in the things of the Spirit, we're still catching on. Your stubborn situation knows way better what will happen on the 3rd. What did I say? And guess what your stubborn situation is going to do to you on the 3rd? Is anybody understanding that? Yes. Okay? They are spirits and they are stubborn spirits. Unfortunately, a few of us have got those ones. Okay. Can I teacher sign? You people know what teacher sign is? Teacher sign. In case you haven't caught up, that's what I've been doing. I haven't been preaching or teaching, I've been teacher sign. So, get it? That's very clever, Benjamin. What are you doing with that thing? Oh, okay. Multitasking there, my boy. Over the last few weeks, if you haven't been here, you've missed out on a lot of treasure troves and information that is going to help you get on top this year or whenever. I've been laying spiritual principles that will help you. So make an effort. Ask somebody. I mean, ask somebody, because certain teachings, like on Fridays, I've not allowed to be put up on the internet. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Where are we going? Hebrews 6. Are you there? So I want you to pay close attention. I feel overwhelmed about how much things they can be there to be said. Okay, we'll start from, I'm going to read a few verses. Okay. Oh, it's refusing. Somebody. Yeah, hand, you got your thing. Read verse 9 for me.
Having said that, beloved, we are fully convinced that there are more beautiful and excellent things which flow from your salvation.
And as I was thinking, praying, and I felt this is for you for this year. I say the Lord about what I feel the Lord is saying to you and what will be happening this year. But one of the things that I felt the Lord was saying for you as a family here is from these words. Those of you that want to sound cool and in the old time, King James Version says, but beloved. Again, look at your face next to you and say, beloved. You can even kiss them if they are kissable. But, beloved, okay, but who?
Beloved.
But, beloved, dear friends, family, awesome ones. That one says beautiful ones. Talk to me, you passion trust. But, beloved, we are, okay. That's when we start business seriously into. We are persuaded. Yes. We are convinced. Not just convinced, we are fully convinced. We are persuaded. We are under such great conviction, confidence, and surety that without it fail, better things of you mission. We are convinced of better things of you. I am persuaded beyond every doubt that without fail there is better things for you. There is better things for you. Barry, when I take a little bit of fire out of this thing. Because it's like I gotta hold it that way. Otherwise I'll be preaching things. I don't know, are you understanding? Beloved, we are persuaded of better things for you. Things that are good. Things that are just wonderful. Things that are so marvelous. Things that are so... There is not even a doubt in his heart and in his mind that there are things that are very good and good for you that are coming. Now, you gotta understand, he says something that sounds redundant. Things that accompany salvation. The Passion says things that flow from salvation. The problem is, most of us got salvation, did not get the accompanying stuff. I think that was too quick. Somebody missed it. The problem is, most of us got salvation, but did not get the things that accompany salvation. Because these things he's persuaded about is not your salvation. These things he's persuaded about is the things that accompany your salvation. See, when your salvation came, it came as a pair. It had salvation and the accompanying things. You got salvation, but there are also things that are meant to flow from your salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Paul is saying, hold on a bit. You got saved in 1962, and you've got 10 more years to go. Really? Let's get the things flow out of salvation that you may enjoy your time here before you go. Hey? Salvation is not a treasury bond that you cash in when you go to heaven. Is somebody here? That? So, I just want to provoke your hearts and your spirit to begin to think outside your I'm saved little box. And begin to imagine there's a lot more. Now, here's something probably you don't know. All of you, you know salvation means what? So-so. Those of you that think say salvation means so-so, put your hand up. Those of you that don't know, put your hand up. Those of you that don't care, put your hand up. Okay, again. Sozo, S-O-Z-O, is a Greek word that means salvation. And those of you that have been following the Brian Simmons would have explained it to you this way, that salvation means nothing missing, nothing broken, perfect in every way. All right? Those of you that were with me whenever that day was, when I was making a distinction between the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek, when I was talking about Dava, remember, put your hand up. Yes. So that's the thing here. The Greek was very specific to tell you what kind of salvation that was. This word salvation here is not sozo. This word here for salvation is soteria. Soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Are you understanding? So soteria means to be delivered. Come out in Jesus' name. That's soteria. Right? Specifically, to be delivered from those irritating, harassing, annoying enemies. To be delivered from those persistent, stubborn agitators. Because deliverance is part of the package that comes with your sozo. Are you understanding? So there are things that accompany your salvation. Anybody care to stick a wild punch? What are things that accompany your salvation? Healing, wholeness, deliverance, new beginnings, wealth. Yeah, he's even smiling. Wealth? Yes, wealth. Power, authority, peace, freedom, prosperity. Everything heaven is contained. That sounds so cool. The problem, you gotta break it down and figure out what does heaven contain. Are you understanding? So which means when you say you are saved, there's got to be evidence outwardly that people can see and say, my, truly he's saved. Because there is accompanying things. Now, really, what catches my attention when it says, I'm persuaded of things that accompany salvation for you, that means it is possible to have salvation without the accompanying. To a point that he had to make a point to emphasize, highlight the need and the importance, having the outworking of the grace of God in their lives. The Lord wants us free from situations and circumstances. And he says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things. In your case, things that are accompanying salvation. Now, I just want to spend a little bit of time g- giving you a bit of understanding of the inner working of the spiritual world. The inner workings of the spiritual realm. Because these things are spiritual, and if we must attach and get hold of the things in the spirit, we must be spiritually discerning and understanding people. Are we understanding?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Salvation is the work of the grace of Jesus. Salvation is as a result of the finished work on the cross. Things that accompany salvation are not. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, it will convict men of sin. Is he going to convict them about them being broke? That's why I say, your salvation is the work of the Spirit. The other thing, Enki's job. Do you understand that? He will convict you of your sin. He will cleanse you from your sin. He will consecrate you from your sin. He will sanctify you from your sin. Is he going to heal you? Perhaps. Let me pull it back a little bit further. Those of you that have been following, a few weeks ago I was talking about Parakletos. Anybody remembers what that is? Okay, what's that, Tony? Parakletos, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's something, more especially you, I don't know, what do you call yourselves? What kind of Christians? Charismatics? Yes, okay. They are another breed entirely. Okay, so in the charismatic movement, we've become comfortable and familiar with the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Okay, so Parakletos is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we know what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is because Jesus said what the Holy Spirit is going to do when he comes. Believe me, I would like to have finished this message a long time ago, but since you're all looking and blank at me, I have to go way back. Okay? So we know when the Holy Spirit comes, we'll do what we said. What is he going to do? Convict the world of sin. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to comfort you. And most importantly, he's going to remind you of the things that he's taught you. Okay? Remember, we say that the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. So he brings change to you. He brings change also through you. And we said people in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit came, the ministry was heavily dependent on what? Somebody talk to me. Did the Lord send a Holy Spirit to Gideon. So what did we commonly, widely see in the Old Testament coming to people delivering messages? That's why you don't get angels, because I taught you about angels, you don't even remember. When I don't see angels, how can you see angels like that? Okay? So, mostly what we see before the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the angelic ministry. Okay? Just about every prophet you're going to find in the Bible, an angel came to them, an angel spoke to them, an angel delivered the message. Why did angels come? Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. So occasionally, yes, you would have the Holy Spirit divinely come upon certain individuals, but mostly the Lord sent angels. So somehow, after the day of Pentecost, you figured out you don't need angels anymore, you just need the Holy Spirit. Okay? Does that make sense there? Okay. Now, we said, what is the angelic ministry? Okay, so we said the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. The angelic ministry works in the environment around you. They work in the elements around you. I gave you several scripture references from Revelation that the angel in charge of fire, the angel in charge of water, the angel in charge of the winds. Angels move in the environment around you. Anybody remember that?
Yes.
So that means a catalyst point to be working in the angelic realm is preparing your environment. The environment you create, the environment you make it either a viable, conducive environment for angels to operate in or not. Anybody remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So we said the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. Where is money? Around you. It's an element. That's a realm that the angels operate in. Anybody just get that?
Yes.
So, angels in charge of fire. Angels in charge of wind, water. Is there angels in charge of money?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah, better figure that one out quick. So you'd struggle to think about an angel in charge of money, but you've got no problem figuring out mammon, a demon in charge of money. Okay? We got no problem believing that there is a demon called mammon that is opposing your success, wealth, and prosperity, but you struggle thinking on the opposite, there is an angel that is charged for your success and prosperity. Okay. It's amazing how you lose your point when you go way back just trying to explain things that you've already explained a million times. Million. Okay? Are we understanding?
Yes.
So the thing is, some of the things that you are supposed to be experiencing are in the realm and the environment around you. Well, the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. Okay. Somebody take me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Raise your hand.
What role then do the angels have? The angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved.
Okay? NIV says, are not all, how many angels? Are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who inherit salvation? What are angels sent to do? Anybody with the King James Version? What does that say? It's got more better English, most of you would understand. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for? Okay? Angels don't minister to you, they minister for you. For, not to. Because the Holy Spirit ministers to. Angels minister for. Do you English speaking people understand the difference between for and to? Come on, Tony, don't make me work overtime. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who shall be heirs of salvation here? Who's them? Who are heirs of salvation? You are. Okay, now, since Tony says four is this, two is this, let me just explain to some of you that are thinking that way. Pay attention. I say, angels work and operate in the environment around you. This is why they are sent to minister for you. Because the Holy Spirit does not deal with the environment around you. It is the job of the angels that have been sent to deal with the environment around you. You still look blank to me. Because if it were not so, what would the point of the omnipotent everywhere spirit being sent to you? Because you could do it all. Though he can, his primary focus is your soul, your life, and your spirit. He ministers to you. So that what he does in you, he can also do through you. Into others. Are you understanding? He's doing it in you, through you, into others. Now, in your life, there is more that is required than your inner salvation and sanctification. There are things that accompany your salvation, and it is the things that accompany your salvation that the angels who are ministering spirit have been sent forth to minister for you. You can debate all you like. You're just delaying your breakthrough. Are you understanding? Because in there is the key that is imperative for you to understand. Come on, why you people make me work so hard? After we did that repentance deal, I thought I was done for the day. Let me take you to Daniel chapter 10. In passing, I've said a bit about this passage. There's a few things that I want you to understand there. Daniel chapter 10. Can you two stop it? Well, if they're having fun, I'll just talk to these ones over here. There's a few things you've read about the Prince of Persia and that demon and all, right? Okay. So I'm not going to go into that because... I'll just assume you know it. Though I don't assume. Okay, let's start from number one. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Okay? A thing was revealed to Daniel when? Whose name was Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was not long. And he understood the thing and had the understanding of the vision. Okay, there's a whole dimensions of talk there. Those of you that would ever find yourselves in the back room with me when I start teaching about the prophetic, you'll get more understanding there. But the thing there is, when? In the third year of who? Okay? When? What happened? In the third year of who? In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. When? I want people to talk to me like you're a pussy. Who? Who?
Cyrus, the king of Persia.
13. We'll start from 12. But then the angel comes and all that thing. He said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, the word of the Lord, where thy word were hid, and I've come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Something you don't think about. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Okay? Daniel is praying. Where? Babylon. No? Babylon, if you want to be geographical, is Iraq. Persia is Iran. Are you understanding? Where is Daniel praying? Babylon. What on earth is the demon of Persia doing in Babylon? So, if you're spiritually in tune, you expect Daniel to say, the prince of Babylon. Not the prince of Persia. He introduces you to the battle from verse 1. Why? The prince of Persia, human incarnate, is in reigning on the throne in Babylon. He brings his warfare from wherever he came from to Babylon with him. When Cyrus became king over Persia, the demons of Persia had reign over Babylon. Because that is the environment he carried with them. And the environment he carried became a conduit of whatever power and principality that influenced him. This is why Daniel, during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, he would have been contending against the prince of Babylon. In the days of Cyrus the Persian, he's contending the spirit of Persia. You face the battles of the anointing you sit under. And my battles are stiff. That's why you cannot follow me and be wishy-washy. Yeah, anybody hear that? So what I wanted to show you there is the environments are influenced by what you are open to. You can create the atmosphere and conditions that make the angelic operate or be hindered from operating. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
So when the king of Persia became king in Babylon, the prince of Persia took up a dominant place of authority in the heavenlies over Babylon. Now, one incredible thing you gotta understand is wherever power meets power, the lesser power bows. Wherever anointing meets anointing, the lesser anointing bows. And this is why deliverance is made possible. So you gotta understand that the day Cyrus attacked Babylon in the natural, in the spirit, the prince of Persia attacked the prince of Babylon. You following?
Yes.
The day that Babylon fell to Persia in the heavenly realm, the principality over Babylon fell. It was ousted. There is always contest for dominion. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, here is what I'm trying to say to you. For 21 days, the messenger sent to deliver the message to Daniel was detained. And the messenger was released solely, completely, on account of the persistence of the prayer of Daniel. Let's say Daniel gave up his prayer deal on the third day. What would have happened? Would it be a fair assumption if I said, some of you, your angels are under detention by the principalities of the bar you went to, and they never came back home with you? They detained Daniel's angel. Who's your angel? Daniel created an environment that released a backup for his backup. Some of you, like I said, with stubborn demons, your backup needs a backup of a backup to backup. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say to you is the efficiency of your angel depends on you more than you would ever understand or appreciate. In as much as you depend on your angel, your angel depends on you to create an environment that would empower him, to create an environment where he would flourish and thrive. Help me, Paul. This is Paul. Okay? Who's that one?
Paul.
Now, Paul is one of those privileged people found in Hebrews 1:14. Okay? So are you all. Who God is says, aren't angels ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for Paul. Meaning, Paul is doing something, and they come to help him with the something he's doing. Okay? So, come here. Come now. You are the sweet angels. You've been sent to minister to for Paul. Yeah, come on, angels are. Come on, either side. Okay, so Paul, sit. Your hands in your pocket. So the point is, God sends the angels to minister for him. So if for the next 50 years he's got his hands in his pocket, the angels will have their hands in their pockets. And there comes me. And the angels are looking at each other, wonder if it hurts. Do you think that hurt? He's hungry. And the angels wonder what he's thinking. Is anybody getting a picture? Because angels, are sent to minister for you. Unless you decide to begin doing something, they will do nothing. Do you need more scriptures? I think you need more scriptures. Let's go to Psalm 139. Hey, stay there! Psalm 139. What book are we going in? There's an important thing you need to understand here. Verse 16, what does it say, Hans? Give me 16.
You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book.
Did anybody hear that? Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So, those of you that don't know, in heaven, you've heard about big rooms and things in heaven. One of the things that are in heaven is a library. That library contains a book for each of you. In that book, it is recorded before you were even born, what you are going to be, what you are going to become, what you are going to do for him. Are you understanding?
Yep.
Your life, your destiny, your purpose is recorded where? In that book. Are you understanding?
Yep.
Your life is where recorded where? In that book. Now, your angel, before he's been dispatched to you, he's been to the library in heaven. He's read your book.
Amen.
Am I speaking to anybody?
Amen.
Your angel has done what before he was dispatched to you? Read your book. So when he sent to you, he knows exactly what assignment he sent you to help you with, because he knows what you're supposed to be. The problem is, You are doing nothing anywhere closely related to what the angel read in the book. So the angel is so confused as what to do with you. Remember, doing things in you, it's not his job. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. So regardless of what he knows you are supposed to do, if you aren't doing it, he will just stand there. Because his job is to move the environment around you to enable you to do. That is how he's ministering for you in the environment around you. So the environment of Daniel was the demon of Persia was resisting. He dealt with it. That was his job. Are you for us or against us? Or for them? The captain of the Lord was asked by Joshua, I'm not on your side or on your side. I'm just here to kick butt. Whose butt? Theirs. Okay. Thank God. Go kick them. Are you following this picture here? Your days, your life, your purpose, your destiny is recorded in the book. And your angel has done what? Read the book. Now you understand when I say, on the 3rd of February, I know what to do on the 3rd of February. Because the angel is working according to text. So if for any reason you are away from what is written in that book, the angels will have to wait for the Holy Spirit to make a correction in you. Anybody understand that? Because to work in you is whose job? Have you read in Exodus that the angel of the Lord that went before the Lord lost his cool with the Israelites in the wilderness? Okay, he's levels of stubbornness. God says, Moses, these people are so stubborn. I'm not even going to spend another day with them. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to just send an angel that is going to walk with them. And then the angel also lost his cool. Anyway. Looks like your angels are still cool. Okay, there's something I want you to understand. Your angel knows your destiny and purpose. And when you are walking according to that, they know what to do, how to help you, how to come alongside you. If you drift away from that, they will have to step back and wait for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, bring it to a place of repentance, bring it to a place of turnaround. So when I've said, create an environment that is conducive for your angel, it is you not just cooperating with heaven, it is you not just cooperating with the Holy Spirit, it is you cooperating also with the ministering spirits that have been assigned to minister for you. Does that make sense? When you cooperate with those that have been sent to minister for you, you make their job easy, and they just be calling favors in for you. Oh, this guy is... Are you following? Now, here's the other thing. Give them a big hand. You can be seated. Now, here's the thing about help. How many of you ever had a moment where you're doing something and some people came to help and everything inside of you is screaming, leave! Because the help was just... Some help is less helpful. And your angels, in wanting to be helpful, are not the unwelcome help. They wait for you until you give the command. Look at it this way. Angels, on every given time, they are responding to the command from heaven, because God said it, or they are responding to the command of their assignee. On any given time, the angel is either responding to a command given by heaven or responding to the command given by people that have been sent to. Thank you, Tony. Why? The word in angel in Hebrew, we say it means what? Malach. Which means what? Messenger. Otherwise, if a messenger is taking initiative, then he's no longer delivering messages, is he? I'm saying this because sooner or later it will be somebody who says, how do you do that stuff? What do you think I've spent the last eternity explaining to you? I think we'll stop here. If you didn't get it, we'll try again in the next 10 years. Am I continually talking to my angel when I'm ministering? Then how on earth would I get anything done if I didn't tell him what to do? How many do I have? There is some that are usually always with me who also have a backup of a backup. Okay. Who was here last Friday night? What were we demonstrating? We're demonstrating in being in multiple places at the same time. We're practicing omnipresence. Anybody remember that? Was that 2 weeks before? Is that when we were with Nikita and we were with you and we were with somebody over there? Was that? Don't blame me. Okay, those of you that was here, you want to tell the ones that went there what it is? Who's talking? Annie Lou is talking. Okay, let Annie Lou talk. Explain nicely so people that went here can understand.
What are we talking about? Omnipresence.
Entanglement.
What? I don't remember entanglement. is that what you're talking about? Was when you prayed for me and then you were over here praying for me and Dion was over there and then you got everybody to stand up and you were like, you said he was praying for someone and then he said he's going to visit some of you while he's praying for someone else, but he wasn't actually physically with us. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so we had you here, we had Dion there, I think we had Nikita there, and we had Karen over there. Okay, so naturally in our minds is, if I'm laying hands on you, I'm with you. What I was trying to demonstrate is, I can be here and be there and be there and be there. How does that happen? Okay, these are things that I've not been talking about. They are things I've been actively demonstrating. Why? Because God has given me the grace to demonstrate. So to answer your question, that was me working with my angels. So in simplicity, I just told, you remember, I said to Dion, you're going to start feeling heat where? Okay, so what happens is I tell the angel exactly, go put heat on his belly. And I tell him, go touch the Kita and do that. I tell him exactly what to do, and you begin to see what I said will be happening is what people begin to experience. Why? I just gave them a simple instruction. Does that make sense? So it is not me talking about angels, but me literally demonstrating the outworking in how the angelic ministry works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, theologically, doesn't have to make sense because if a theologian hasn't hung out with angels yet. Does that make sense? So, now, the thing is, if we can do that here and there and there, this is what you got to understand. There is nothing to stop that happening when you're in your bedroom, in your house. A while ago, I had a call from somebody. It says there's a demon, it's flipping, it's doing this and that. Please help. And I was just lying down, having a good time. And I just got irritated with that demon. You know what I did? No. I went there personally. Remember, you are what? Your spirit. You got no limitations. I just went there personally and told the demon to shut up. And then they call back. Something just happened. It changed. It stopped. Of course it did. Maybe that's for another week. Can we just... Am I sounding insane to you, or am I making sense to anybody? For me to say you've got a natural man who is limited and a spirit man that is not, unless you begin to experience and see that for yourself, it doesn't make sense. The idea is, let's take this spirit lifestyle and bring it to a whole new level. All right. Sorry? In the blood. What other demonstrations have we done in the last few weeks? Talk about that.
Okay, so Friday night, Louise was doing some ministry herself. She received something from Papa, and then he kind of grabbed her bag and was like, something was happening with her. You know, because it was her bag and she was connected with her bag. When he was ministering to the bag, she was receiving ministry over there and ministering to the other person. So that was pretty cool.
Do you understand what you say?
Yeah.
We took a bag. When we move a bag that way, she moves that way. What I mean, you're connected to your stuff. Here's a more spiritual way. Your stuff can be a point of contact. Now, so the incredible lesson in that, if that was your bag, can be a point of contact. What about your photographs? What about your pictures on Facebook? Did you hear that? So if I can do that with your bag, I can download your photo on Facebook and do the same. So can the witch doctor. So can somebody trying to curse you. And this is why you gotta live cautiously in the spirit world. Does that make sense? All right, let's stand. You see, the only consistent currency in transacting in the spirit is your hunger. Hunger is a consistent currency in transacting in the things of the Spirit. On Friday night, I gave you an assignment to go get your hammer and smash your regulators. Because you determine what God does, how He does it, when He does it. Not Him, you do. Most often we are where we are because that's what we've believed and hoped for. Jesus said to the blind man, go, it will be done according to what your faith expects. And this is why you get two people in the same place, listening to the same thing from the same person, and get laid hands the same hand, and yet there are two distinct results. Because what was determining is a regulator on each one of them. I was saying Jesus did an incredible thing. Jairus believed that if Jesus can come to his house, his daughter will be raised from the dead. So for Jairus, Jesus had to come. For the Roman centurion, believed that Jesus just had to say the word, didn't have to come. And each one of them got a miracle according to how they believed. Here's one thing I want to let you know. A prophetic word does not bring any of the promises of God come to pass in your life. Might sound foreign to you. No prophetic word spoken, uttered by whichever prophet, no matter how big anointed they are, will ever make anything come to pass in your life. The purpose of the prophetic word is to ignite the seed in your life and your faith to work it out. A prophetic word does what? Sparks the seed. Lights up that little fire in you. So your faith can pursue it. I've been saying this over the last whatever. That when you get a prophetic word, what's the first thing you should go do? Yep. You get a prophetic word, the first thing you do is go fast, go pray. Begin to invest in that word. What does most of us do? I got a prophetic word, I'm waiting on the Lord to do something. Well, you will be waiting for a long time. I remember a while ago, I got a word from Isabel that there's a lot of books in you, right? I do not remember a single day an angel waking me up to go and write. It's a promise that I have to actively engage with. You're doing something is a demonstration of your faith in moving towards there. On Friday, we were praying for people, says, we want a breakthrough on the house. And immediately the Lord said, some people need to learn to start saving money. He gave you the word, but he's never going to save the money for you. You got to do it yourself. Yeah. There's certain things that the Lord wants to do through you. Emphasis, the Lord wants to do. If you don't respond, you'll raise someone else. Jesus said, if he could make the people keep quiet and stop them from saying Hosanna, God was going to raise up the rocks to take their place and shout Hosanna. I don't know about you. I don't want any rock to take my place. There's a lot of promises over this house. And in whatever promises God gives, my first reaction is always, what should I be doing? What's my part? What's my role? What should I be telling the angels you've sent to me? Bonus point. I heard somebody say, it's very good that the Holy Spirit came on earth after the devil and his demons were kicked out. Very good news. Why? Because when the Spirit came and brought tongues, they don't understand them because they didn't learn that language. They went there when they released it. So, it says, when you pray in tongues, you deep mysteries that can't be uttered. That is also the idea. When you pray in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, your angel gets a clue what he should be doing. I don't know if anybody got that. So when you say kuraba kereba, the angel says, oh, that's what we're doing. Okay. I think that's the first point I said. Now we thank God that the angels were kicked out of heaven before God sent the spirit and the tongues. They weren't there when God was inventing the language he's sending to you. And the demon never saw them. He hasn't read the book. Okay. So bande. So what has God spoken to you over the years? What has God prophesied? What prophecies have you received? What prophecies have you received? Because I don't see a point of releasing new ones if you're still not doing anything over the ones you got. Assignment. Go home. Go read all your prophetic words. Go listen to your prophetic tapes. Prophetic words required response. Log yourself in. You gotta. The Lord has called you to be a preacher. And you hardly ever read the Bible. So what preaching are you gonna be preaching? Some things are just plain common sense. You're going to be a preacher. And that's the truth for most of us. The only time you hold your Bible to read the verse is when I say open to Numbers chapter 2 on a Sunday. After that, wait for another week. The Holy Spirit has got nothing to work with. He said he will remind you things that he's taught you. You've got to be in a place of being taught something to be reminded. Let's remind him. It's a blank brain. It's blank. There's nothing to stir up. What I'm trying to do is show us how to cooperate with heaven and how to cooperate with the help we sent you. It's not that you're working it in your own flesh, it is igniting the spark of faith in your life to begin a sequence of things to begin to move. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I have been doing my best in teaching, instructing. Would leave early, leave late, leave that. Because I know in my heart there will come a day when you'll be looking for me to teach you this. And you will not find me. That I know. So you know when it happens that I told you. There will come a day that you look to have a conversation with me. And you have to stand in line and you'll be number 1052. Well, that is me trying to activate my faith. I guess the point I'm trying to say is these intimate moments we have Let's make full use of them. Let's make full use of them. And this is why, whether it is on Friday, it is the 10 of you, I never hold anything back. Let's seize the moment. So, what do you need to do about what the Lord has been saying to you? Do something about it. Do something about it. Okay?